Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be back with you and to be able to bring this final chapter of the book of John. You know, over the last few months, you've been studying. The word has been preached on the gospel of John. And you know, John's gospel is not just a biography. It's about who Jesus is, the eternal Son of God, God incarnate. And you know, it's been said from this pulpit, it's been preached regarding the power of God throughout this gospel. We've seen, you've heard about the seven miracles that Jesus did. You've heard about the seven I ams that Jesus proclaimed that he was. Do you know, we've actually got an eighth miracle, and that's in this chapter, chapter 21. The miracle catch. Now, I've only got a few minutes. I haven't got enough time to unpack this as it should be unpacked. However, what we can say is this, that Jesus is still doing miracles today. You know, the greatest miracle that someone can experience is actually coming to know the Father, Abba Father, through Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the greatest miracle. To go from death to life. And my prayer is that you've experienced that encounter. You've experienced that miraculous change. You know, Jesus in chapter 21, he's making breakfast. Breakfast. You know, I mean, my wife makes me breakfast every morning. I'm sure that you good ladies do the same for your hubbies. But Jesus is a servant. Yes, he's God, but he's also a servant. I mean, what a character, what an attitude. He's there making breakfast for the disciples. And you know, one of these disciples, Peter, is in a mess. He's desperate. And why is he desperate? Because he has denied Jesus. And this is the first time that he's encountered Jesus since his denial. But yet he is the first person out of the boat. You know, it's wonderful that just beforehand Jesus gives them this instruction, because they've been out fishing all night and they've caught zilch, nothing. You know, in our own lives, let's be honest, in our own lives, if we want to catch things, if we want to catch the goodness of God, the grace of God, the power of God, if we want to be used by God, then we have to listen to God. Yes, God gives us wisdom, but the Bible says that trust in the Lord in all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And these guys were fishing all night, leaning on their own understanding. They thought they knew where the fish was. But when they caught nothing, it must have been distressing for them. They'd caught nothing all night. Jesus said to them, throw your net over the other side. And they got an harvest. They got an harvest. My first challenge to you as a church this morning is this. Listen to God. What is God saying to you in order to catch a catch? And it might not make sense to you as a church, because it didn't make sense to these fishermen to throw the net on the other side. But when we obey God, and we act on his word, that's when we see God move in power. Power. I was speaking in Cardiff yesterday, down in St. Andrews, at the St. Andrews Centre, to a number of Ukrainians. And boy, did we have a wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit with us. And the majority of these Ukrainians are Orthodox Christians. But when I shared about the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God, how he changed my life, you know, they were breaking out in tears. And not because of my story, but because of what God had done. Not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit's presence. You know, tomorrow night I'm speaking to the homeless people at Canton Church down in Cardiff. It's been a busy time this weekend in Cardiff. But the point that I'm trying to make is that if we seek God with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls, and we act upon what he is saying, even though it might not make sense, God will honour it. God will honour. That is what's called faith. Not doing something in your strength, but doing something in the supernatural power and grace of God. So Peter gets to the shore. Jesus has a conversation with him. In fact, he asks Peter if Peter loves him. And he asks him three times. And that's significant, because on the third time that Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, it says that Peter was hurt. Now, I really, really think that Peter was hurt because he denied Jesus three times. Three times he denied him. So Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me, Peter?" And each time Peter responded, You know I love you, Lord. And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." You know, Peter was a broken man. I don't know if any of you guys have experienced that type of brokenness. I have. Especially when I've let God down. And we all do. Let's be real. None of us are perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. Do you know, despite the depth that Peter fell in denying Jesus, I'm sure that he'd been encouraged that Jesus would forgive him. You know, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy. Moses has been praising God for all the mountains that God has made and conquered. And he says in verse 27, it says this: "The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you." Underline that, "under you." "He drives out the enemy before you. He cries out, 'Destroy them.' So Israel will live in safety, prosperous, Jacob in security." His everlasting arms will be under you. So no matter, you know, yes, many of us walk on mountains. We experience God on the mountaintop. And God is a God of the mountaintops, but he's also a God of the valleys. the valleys that you and I go through. But I love that word. I love that word. It says his everlasting arms are under you. He's beneath you. So when Peter fell, Peter, I hope, had the understanding that God was under him. There's no matter how much he fell, God would catch him. Do you know there's an Hebrew word, takaf, and it's where we get the word underneath, beneath, down below. And so Peter must have realized that no matter how far he'd gone, God's grace was sufficient for him. Do you know, we know the story of how Peter went to the cross. We know he was crucified. He didn't see himself fit to be crucified in the same way as Jesus. He actually asked if he could be crucified upside down. God is a graceful God. Yes, I'm sure that Peter carried the thoughts of the past. We all get attacked by the past. We can, you know, the enemy's out to deceive us, to destroy us. But the truth is this: Peter was forgiven. And if we confess our sins, you and I are forgiven. We are cleansed. I just want to finally say this, that anybody heard of Fuller's soap? Fuller's soap? Well, actually, Fuller's soap is it's not a brand. Actually, Fuller was a person who would clean the dirtiest part of a sheep. It was called a fuller. And he would take the dirtiest part of the sheep and he would scrub it. He would fill it, the wool with suds of this powerful soap. And even he would stamp on it to get all the impurities out of this wool. Full of soap. Do you know, Jesus is more powerful than full of soap. He cleanses us. He washes us. He purifies us. And he sets us on a path, on a mission. The disciples had a mission. In Matthew 9, as was read earlier on, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. You know, we have a message. A message. Yes, I'm speaking to people tomorrow night who live on the streets of Cardiff. They've come for they're experiencing, man, what they've experienced is unbelievable. But yet there's hope. There's hope. If they will just open their eyes, allow God to come into their lives and begin that cleansing, that purifying, and that new life. John's gospel is an amazing gospel. If you just had John's gospel, you'd get it. You'd get the message of salvation. You'd get the message of grace. You'd get the message of God's authority and who Jesus is. Jesus is God. God incarnate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for John's gospel. We thank you for the encouragement that you've given us over these months, as we've, Lord, heard how Jesus came into this world, how you used Jesus in such a mighty, mighty way. Father, we thank you. As Jesus said to Thomas, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Lord, we have seen you. We've seen you. We see you in the Bible, but we also see you in our lives. We see you in our villages and in our cities. We see you on the streets, Lord. And so, Father, I bless you. I give you all the praise and all the glory for who you are. You're real. You're alive. And one day you're going to return to take us to be with the Father for eternity. So, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for today. Thank you for this harvest. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that it's going to bless. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.